Hello, and welcome to my podcast, Purple Paso People, where the focus is on the folks behind the wine and what makes Paso Robles, California, such a special and unique place to live and visit. Help me uncover the hidden gems, legends, and gossip that make this the best wine region in the world. I'm your host, Kelsey Schmidt. Let's pop that cork. My guest today is Diane Walks. Hello.
Hello.
Tell us a little about yourself, Diane. How did you end up in Paso, and maybe how did we meet, you and I?
So, back in 2010, I ended up meeting a winery by the name of Bianchi, and got to talking about some opportunities with them, and one thing led to another, and they hired me as an outside sales rep, suppliers rep, and I was with them for 7 years, and I'm originally from SoCal, but I fell in love with the Central Coast, and every time I'd go back to SoCal, I had this feeling of being homesick. Mm-hmm. So I knew I needed to live here on the Central Coast.
So you moved to Paso after you got the job?
Correct. Wow. I was actually traveling back and forth. I was living in Malibu at the time, and so I was just traveling a lot and made the decision that I was going to move the rock. And
it's a scary decision.
It was very scary.
Yeah.
Just packed everything up, and fortunate enough to have landed a really cool place. And, but yeah, that's how I met you.
Yeah, right. We met when I came on board. Gosh, that was, I want to say like 2014 or 15. I got the job at Bianchi and I left Lavinier and went over there. I think it was end of 14 or 15.
Something like that. Yeah.
So I've known you since then.
Oh, and I adopted you. my other daughter.
Yeah, that was the beginning of a great friendship and relationship. Yeah, that was fun. And I had a little bit of experience with outside sales being from Southern. So you and I bonded over that. And I kind of understood what you were doing more than maybe someone who hadn't done outside sales before. And I knew some of the Young's reps that knew some of the Southern reps from where I was from and all that. That was kind of a fun connection.
Oh, I loved it when you worked events with me. We had so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got it. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good job. And so that your title technically was outside sales rep. What was your title?
Outside suppliers rep. Yeah.
Okay.
So you manager.
Worked,
yeah.
Okay. So you worked with Young's to help them get what they needed.
Manage them to make sure they're doing their job.
Yeah.
And selling the brand at that time.
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know the three-tiered system, essentially, after Prohibition, this was something that happened where they didn't want people, producers selling directly to the public in a certain way. And so they came up with this three-tiered system of distribution companies selling to retailers who sold to people. And there's a couple different levels and variations on that. I'm not going to bore you with all of that, but essentially that's where a lot of big names, you may not all know those names, but Southern Wine and Spirits, now Southern and Glazier's Spirits, I believe, Young's Market.
And RNDC just partnered with them.
Okay. And there's also Wine Warehouse, K&L. Gosh, there's so many. But yeah, so that's kind of their main primary function. And then you working for Bianchi, not for the distribution company.
Correct.
You were the link between the distribution company who did placements for Bianchi. You provided them with support.
Yes.
But you represented the winery's interests with the distributors.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. It's always kind of a mouthful to kind of explain. And if you've not been through it, it's kind of complicated and confusing because, oh, distributors, what's distribution? So I always kind of like to break it down a little bit. What wine are we drinking today?
Oh, I am so excited about this.
And why did you pick this one?
Well, I have such an amazing opportunity with a brand new brand called Weed Sellers. Mm-hmm. Our slogan happens to be Weed the People. There is no cannabis in the product, but packaging.
So
is
no THC, no CBD.
Nothing.
None of it.
There's no cannabis. There's nothing in it.
And there was never any in it.
Never. Okay. The way they came up with this was it happens to be one of the 8th most spoken words in the English language throughout the world, the word weed. So it starts a great conversation. Mm-hmm. Again, the weed, the people, and you know, now when I taste my customers on the wines, I say we need to weed through the wines. This is all you weed instead of need. It just goes on and on and on. And the beauty of this is it's Central Coast. So the grapes are sourced throughout the Central Coast. And you get quality wines and an incredible value mm-hmm. along with it. We're partnered with Gary Sinise Foundation. So his foundation is for veterans and first responders, which I hold close to my heart. Anything when it comes to military, firefighters, police officers. So part of the proceeds does go to his foundation.
Those of you don't remember that name or recognize that name, Gary Sinise, Forrest Gump, y'all.
Bingo.
He was what's his name? The captain or the lieutenant.
Yes, he was the lieutenant.
Lieutenant, what was his name?
Oh, I forgot.
Lieutenant, oh my gosh. Anyway, that's so you can picture, put a face to that name.
Yes, he's a wonderful man. Very proud to be partnered with him because, again, his cause is helping a lot of people. And then we have another investor involved, Brett Saberhagen and his beautiful wife, Candace. Brett Saberhagen is a 2-time Cy Young winner for Major League Baseball. The nicest, down-to-earth, humble people. And they have a foundation as well of their own, which they hold close to their hearts, which is called Saber Wings. And that's for people with cancer that can't afford to pay their bills. So at the end of the day, it's a win-win situation for everybody, and it's paying it forward.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. And the labels, I mean, it's a pretty cool package. I'll post it on my website so everyone can kind of see what the branding looks like. Has weed sellers down the side, and then it has a big W on it. But there's, I mean, so right now, what are we drinking? We're drinking the Cab, 2017 right. Central Coast Cabernet. Alcohol content is 14%. I mean, it says French and American oak aged. It's super easy to drink. It's super light. I don't know if I'd even guess Cabernet. I'd probably say it's a red blend. Mm-hmm. But super smooth for a 17. And the value on it, I know, is really great. So you guys have a keg program, some can program. Tell me a little bit about the varieties you guys do, as well as the other kind of products that Weed does as well. Are they all under the Weed Cellars umbrella?
Yes. Okay. And so we offer 2 different beers, a light beer and a ale. Those are in the cans. And then we do the wines in the cans as well. And we also have the most incredible Proseccos. Mm-hmm. We have a rosé Prosecco, and then we have a regular Prosecco straight from Italy. It's the real deal. And it's just...
I've tasted those. We are not tasting those tonight, but I've tried them, and they're both amazing.
What did you say about the rosé?
I said it was a strawberry creme, like those candies that you used to eat.
Oh, she's right.
But dry finish.
Right.
But the nose and like the palate was all that strawberry creme. Strawberry cream.
Yes. Yes, it's delicious. So we have several different varietals. We have, again, as Kelsey mentioned, we've got the Cabernet Sauvignon that we're drinking right now. We have a Sauvignon Blanc, which we had a little bit earlier this evening, and also Central Coast. It's got a nice, earthy, not too grassy, but a really nice finish on the Sauvignon Blanc. We have a blend, a white blend, which is a Chenin Blanc and Viognier, which is...
That's what we had a week ago.
Yes. Oh,
it was so good.
What a wonderful blend mm-hmm. together. Just fits well. And then we have Pinot Noir, and I am not a Pinot Noir person, mm-hmm. but I had it the other night with some friends who she is not a Pinot Noir person either. We had some pork chops and some amazing, incredible vegetables that tasted like fall.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's
like 100 degrees every day here still. Exactly. Fall, anyway. We want fall food. Okay.
But we had the Pinot with it, mm-hmm. and it was incredible. And
there is one more, right?
We have the Chardonnay as well. And so we also have a bourbon.
That's fun.
Straight out of Kentucky. And it's amazing. Yeah. It's just...
I tried that for sure. And then we had our lovely bartender at... Shout out to La Bella Sera and Inoteca Restaurant, Daniel. He's their general manager there now?
Supervisor. Yep.
He made us an old-fashioned with it. And it was there's a lot of craft cocktail people in Paso. And... this was really, really good.
It was one of the best I've had.
I don't know if it was
had.
Because of Daniel or because of the bourbon.
Well, I'm going to say both.
Combination. It was so good. That was delicious. I might have to bring some next time so you can make another one for me.
Or there you go.
He should just bring it in.
I think he's planning on bringing it in.
That's awesome. Very cool. So those are kind of all the products. And it's a brand new company, right?
Still getting
their legs. And
Just getting it off the ground as we speak. And so far, the response has been amazing. Everybody's excited. They love the packaging. They love what the brand represents. They love the support that the brand has to offer.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible.
And you do a keg program, too, for restaurants who want to do buy the glass. I mean, just quite frankly, put weed sellers on your wine list, and you're going to start a dialogue, whether it's, is there actually weed in this or not? It's going to start a dialogue and maybe a taste and then maybe a glass. So that's an easy win, to put on your menu just because it's a novelty.
Absolutely.
So you just started with them.
Just.
It's brand new for you, too.
Oh, yeah. I'm so excited.
That's very exciting. Well, I'm enjoying this wine. It's easy drinking. It's almost dangerous how easy drinking
mm-hmm.
it is.
I know.
Blueberries, earthy nose. Plum, some blackberry. I don't really get a lot of tobacco, but more cherry vanilla for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not too full-bodied. I'd say it's a little bit softer. And the tannins are super soft as well. And it's got a medium to long finish, probably, is what I would say. But I'm enjoying it. Went really well with the
pumpkin turkey chili.
Oh, my gosh. It went really well with that, so I can't complain about that too much. So let's revisit this in a bit after it opens up, or maybe we'll try something else. We'll see how the night goes. But tell me what your daily activities, we kind of touched on what distributors do and outside sales do. Your daily activities kind of for this new brand, what are kind of what's your responsibility for this brand? What's your daily day?
Everything is relationship driven, and that's the beauty of what I do. And I'm not going to just sell you wine and that's the end of it. It's friendships that are made. We're a team, from the distributor to the people that make the wine, the winemaker, all the sales team. It's 100% teamwork mm-hmm. in order to be successful. And I've always said that. But my job is to oversee the sales reps for the distributor and make sure they're selling our brand. They have a book full of...
Right. So that's Young's, just like at Bianchi was the distributor you supported.
Correct.
Which is great.
It's awesome because they're all still there, most mm-hmm. of them. And I reached out to them and said, I get to work with you again. Mm-hmm. And they know a day with Diane is not your usual day usually, but we have fun because that's what, wine and spirits are all about is fun. Mm-hmm. And if you're not having fun, something's not right.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm so excited about with this brand, like I said, is the support that's involved. So we have also as one of the investors is Brad Paisley, and we have a few other country music.
My favorite.
Yep. Oh, yeah. In fact, our corporate offices right now are in LA. It's so funny. I had so many emails, texts. Are you moving to LA?
No.
No, 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 no. I'm not moving back. But for right now, there are corporate offices that are a place called the Weed Lounge. Mm. It's very cool.
Mm-hmm.
And we plan on having those all over the country. We plan on getting one here in Paso Robles. And our corporate offices, we're moving to Tennessee.
That's cool.
And we have three NASCARs involved. Again, the support is overwhelming.
Yeah.
And that's what I love, is to be able to support our buyers if they want to do an event, a golf tournament. It's all going to go back to the cause, to mm-hmm. whether it's Gary's Sinise Foundation mm-hmm. or Saberhagen's Foundation. Mm-hmm. It's all about giving back, paying it forward, mm-hmm. and sharing the weed.
Well, it's also nice to have a brand that has such a presence of support already. I mean, and let's be honest, money, which, you know, is kind of an important thing, capital investment to kind of make a brand successful, at least from the get-go. And to have so much success already kind of built into this brand is just, it's a good place to start. A really
Absolutely.
Good place to start. And then to have the money kind of flowing back to charity. I mean, like you said, like everyone wins. So it's such a great kind of beginning to this cool brand, I think, Weed.
Yeah, it's so exciting. There's so much, sky's the limit that we mm-hmm. can do. The packaging is great. Mm-hmm. Was just recently at an account the other day, one of my old buyers at Savage Liquor. Mm-hmm. She's just a wonderful lady, and I don't remember seeing this kind of enthusiasm from her.
That's great.
Very excited, and
mm-hmm. yeah, it's promising stuff. So on a day-to-day, you go out with a rep or on your own two accounts and either try to upsell that brand or just continue to check in on them, see if they need anything. Distributor companies, so Young's Market. If you don't know how that works, they basically are hired by companies like Weed or like Bianchi, or some brands have more than one that they work with in different areas. It just depends on what your scope is. But they basically have this book of all these brands they represent, and they go to all their accounts and they pitch different brands based on the needs of that account. And so Diane provides that support for Weed brand specific and kind of wants them to remember that Weed is a brand they need to remember to pitch, because they have a huge book. Not to say they can't handle that, but it is one of those things to have that kind of support. Having that outside rep can be really important for, like, a brand like this. It's going to do so well.
Yeah, the other thing that's incredible is who actually is my boss is Dane Trope, and Dane actually put Jay Lore on the map. So I met him probably about 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And was fascinated with his seminars, with his winemaker dinners, basically my mentor, and he's who got me into the business. So through the years, we would see each other on and off. He was mm-hmm. with Don Sebastiani and Sons. He was with Robert Hall. And when I saw this is the company he was with, usually I would say everything Dane touches turns to gold, but now I say everything Dane touches turns to weed.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which you could argue then turns into gold.
Exactly.
AKA money, because that's...
There yeah, you go.
That's one exactly. of those things these days.
So he's just amazing, and I knew that if they got him, this must be pretty...
Something worth your while.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So it's nice to be working with Dane again.
So I know that's a really, everybody in the wine industry kind of seems to kind of make the rounds until they find their home, their place where they're meant to be and where they're in it for the long haul. So tell me some of the jobs that you've had in Paso that are related with the wine industry. You told me one, Bianchi. Are there any others worth mentioning? And then tell me about if there's any experiences or positions that you might miss. Not necessarily that you want to go back to, but like you appreciate what it was for what it was when it happened.
I was working at Law Estate Wines and for about a year.
Mm-hmm.
And my benefit there was the education was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I kind of feel like I've been in school for all these years, except getting paid for it.
Yeah.
And learning for when I was supposed to be with the right brand that I was supposed to be with.
Yeah.
But law, it was great. Adelaida Pitts, that was a blessing for me. Mm-hmm.
That's she knows her stuff.
She's a bright light. She's a good representation of Paso Robles, the Central Coast.
I met her through you, because of you.
Aww.
And Shelley, another guest, was your coworker. I met her through you as well.
Aww.
So there's just things, everything happens for a reason. But.
It does. And people come into our lives for a reason. Yeah. And even though I don't work with law anymore, I'm still sending half the world there. I'm sending them to Epic.
Right.
Because everybody always asks me
where
to go exactly. But if anybody can be lucky enough to get the Addy experience, it's pretty special.
Yeah.
Because she is,
I agree.
She's extremely one special young lady.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm proud to say that I
worked there.
Yeah, I worked there. Yeah.
Yeah. And to be around all those people and around that wine and that atmosphere. They're also kind of a young brand, kind of like Epic. I think they started a little bit after Epic. So I know the owner there is friends with the owners at Epic. They run in the same circles. And so it's really fun to see how the brands are different and how they're similar. And
how they blend.
And how they blend. And we all know each other. And again, just pointing to another great special thing about Paso, like even if you leave a place, that doesn't mean, you know, you're blackballed from them or your, you know, things end with them.
No, they're part of my journey. They're right. Part of my tapestry. They're part of my blend.
Right. And you know, I always send people to my past workplaces. I have nothing but positive things to say. And when you can do that, I think that speaks volumes of you and the company.
Absolutely.
That's so great. So anything that in particular, not necessarily about law, but maybe Bianchi as well, any experiences that you maybe miss? Like seeing me every single day.
There you go. Seriously, Kelsey? I do. That was a tough one for me. Was a real tough one. But I don't know. I gained a non-blood daughter.
Right. I know.
Those are kind of the best kind.
I know. But yeah, I mean, seeing one of your best friends every day is kind of nice.
Yeah. I do. I miss people I used to work with. Mm-hmm. Liz. Who was at Bianchi, that's true. Think about her often. We had a great relationship, and I think it's just no different than any relationship. You just grow in different directions, just like a vine.
And I think your career, anyone's career, you have to learn to be a little bit selfish in what's best for you. Because if it's not the best place for you, then it's not going to be the best thing for the company for you to be there either, the brand, wherever, whoever I'm talking about, you know. And so if you are...
You're pretty young to have gotten that already. It took me a lot longer.
Well, this is my sixth winery job, I would say. So I've maybe smashed a little bit more into a smaller time frame. But when you find your home, it's just... It's amazing for you. It's amazing for the company. But I think your career, you have to learn to be a little selfish. Because then everybody wins.
Yeah. Give yourself the oxygen first.
Yeah. And I think Paso is a really good place to do that. I think we have all the right tools and all the right people and relationships for that to happen organically. So I know like winemakers, assistant winemakers, tasting room people, harvest interns, people get shared or move around and everyone really hopefully ends up where they are happiest.
I believe that happens. I think everybody ends up where they're supposed to be when they're supposed to be there.
Yeah. And then I guess one of your, besides me, will take me out of this, some of the best connections you've made working and living on the Central Coast. And that could mean friendships or business success or however you want to interpret that.
Well, one of the things I'm proud of is the fact that my niece Jacqueline has worked for Young's Market now for 7 years.
That's so long.
Yeah.
That's
and
amazing.
She started, like you were helping me with events and just kind of learning about the industry. I introduced her to Young's people that she needed to know, and the rest is history. She did that on her own. Mm-hmm. And I'm just so proud of her.
Yeah. I mean, she's now on to on-premise, right?
Oh, yeah. They had to start her off in chains.
Well, that's where everyone's
doing. Yeah. And she was there for 3 years.
Yep.
So she paid her dues.
Yep. Oh, I was there 2.5 years. And then I moved back to Paso. But yeah, it takes a while.
Early in the morning in the whole nine yards?
Oh, yeah. There was one morning where I got up at 2 a.m. No, I had to be at the account at 2 a.m. Because that's when the wine load arrived. And me and my whole team actually showed up for that one. This was a Safeway account. I'm not going to name which Safeway this was. But it was one of those things where this happens a lot in the alcohol industry. You scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. So the whole team showed up to throw the entire liquor load. And this was right before a 30% off sale. And so we not only threw our wine on the floor and on the shelf, but we threw everything for her. And then her displays. But in turn, she ordered about, I want to say, 100 cases more of our product than anyone else. But we had to get it all set up before her manager came in because she had to say, oh, yeah, it came all on the load with the 30% off sale. So, yeah, I did the 2 a.m. and then I was off by 10:30.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, went home, back to bed.
You know, you paid your dues because let me tell you, when you work in the chains, you do. Yeah. And
she was in L.A., right?
Yes,
LA area.
Yes, yeah.
But now then she got the golden ticket on-premise. So off-premise is like chains, so retail locations that already are accounts that hold your product. So you're just basically upselling and making sure everything's to planogram. On-premise is bars, restaurants, anything that has alcohol being consumed on the premises. And that's where you can make the big bucks.
And everybody loves her. I'm so, so proud of her. And again, this is a relationship-based industry.
Yeah.
But it's not, that's what life is.
Right.
Life is all based on relationships.
Yeah, distribution. Even on the chain side, they ordered from people who they liked the best and who were the most consistent. It didn't have anything to do, I mean, I hate to say it, it didn't have anything to do with the product where I was at in the chains. On-premise gets a little bit different. But for me, they didn't even care what brand we had as long as it moved. And they like the price point.
And they like you.
And they like me.
Exactly.
And I was consistent and showed up. So they didn't really care about, I hate to say, that's why I came back to the production side of things, where people have passion for the product, but they didn't care what the wine was.
Yeah.
They didn't care at all. So it was like one of those things. So I put in my dues, I'll get to the people who care about the product.
They put that in your hands.
I know.
You know, if Kelsey likes it, Kelsey's behind it. We're good with it.
Right, because they liked me. So they trusted me. I'm not going to sell them something that's going to sit there for a year.
Well, that's how you are at Epic, though, too. I mean,
it's easy to sell Epic, let's be honest.
It's true.
it's so good.
Actually, I have to tell you, that's been one of my favorite here on the Central Coast for a long time. This is before they even remodeled.
Mm. When they were in the modular trailer?
Yes. Yeah. That's how far back. So I'm very loyal to the Epic brand.
So another weird connection that you and I have to sort of Epic is Phyllis, an old coworker at Bianchi, worked in the trailer that was York Mountain Winery before Epic bought it. So that's before 2009, people. That's a long time ago. Well, not that long, but
I didn't know that about Phyllis.
Yeah, she told me that, and I was like, that is so crazy.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Things come full circle. Yeah. They just do.
Yeah.
You know what? It's like vines that grow. It's the same thing. I mean, it just comes full circle.
Yeah. So for those of you that don't know the Epic story, I'm not going to go too deep into it. But before my owners, Bill and Liz Armstrong, purchased the York Mountain property, it was owned by York Mountain Winery Brand. And from 2003 to 2009, the original building that we now have our taste room in was condemned, so they were tasting out of a little trailer, which is now our kitchen, and was our tasting room until we opened the new where we are now.
Which is gorgeous, so beautiful, amazing.
If you want the whole experience and the whole story, make an appointment.
There you go. Oh, and you know what? And it comes down to, it starts at the top, the owners.
Yeah.
They are such wonderful people.
Trickle down effect. I think any brand.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. In my other episode with the whole Epic tasting room staff, or at least a good chunk of them, we kind of talk about that trickle down effect that, you know, really makes a statement. Maybe not so blatantly. You don't always know that that's where it comes from, but you can see it all the way down to the employees pouring the wine, the people clearing your glasses.
Absolutely.
Every person on the phone that you speak with. So the trickle-down effect, I definitely believe it.
Mm-hmm.
The brands that get that do very well for themselves.
Yep. Passion in the bottle, that's for sure.
What are your ambitions for your future within the wine industry?
Again, this brand that I'm with, Weed Cellars, is everything that I can possibly want. I used to have a company.
In terms of opportunity or product?
Opportunity, or product, to be a part of such an amazing brand that, again, supports causes. And I think that's really what it comes down to. So I used to have a company called Unforgettable Promotions, and I used to partner charities with businesses for when they wanted to do events. So at the end of the day, it gave credibility to the business. It gave credibility to the brand. It gave credibility to the charity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important to me. It's kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take much. It adds up. You know, you don't need that much. A little goes a long way. Mm-hmm. Winemaker dinners, I used to always tell people, partner with a charity. If you don't have one, believe me, I can
There's
find
plenty
one.
Out yes, there that need
absolutely.
You.
Because people, when it comes to spending money, they feel good about when it goes towards a cause.
And well, so, it's emotional.
Very much so.
Money spending is emotional.
It is, definitely.
And well, spending a lot of money is emotional.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. But that's why I see a very long future here. Maybe a regional manager, a couple other states take on. Just continue to watch the weed grow.
Right. And get that weed
and be
lounge.
Part of it.
Get that weed lounge opened in Paso.
Oh, no doubt about it.
Get that, start that running. And I mean, we'll be inside before you know it. We're getting close. So we'll see how that goes. And then who knows what the limits are. That's great. I'm so glad that you found something that seems to resonate so closely with you.
It does. And again, that's what I'm all about is, again, good quality wines. The value is amazing, mm-hmm. but yet part of the proceeds going towards these great causes. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do some golf tournaments. Brad Paisley is one of the investors as well.
Right.
I know that we're going to try to maybe do something with him.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's never ending, and it's my feet haven't touched the ground. I can't even sleep at night. My wheels are just
so
spinning.
Excited.
I am.
That's great. That's how it should be. That's how it should be. Changing gears a little bit, bringing it back more to Paso, since you've been around a bit, you know a lot of people. What's your favorite piece of gossip or legend in Paso? It could be a person, it could be a story, it could be a place.
Well, first of all, let's talk about the California history of wine.
Yeah, go for it.
In itself.
No one else has done that yet.
Well, and nobody's done a documentary on it either. And I've been saying somebody should, because yeah. This dates back a long time ago. And you know, that's another thing that's the beauty of wine. I mean, it goes back to the biblical ages, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But being a part of history and continued history as it continues to develop through the years, I remember first coming to Paso Robles in 2010. I knew that this place
was going to explode.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I just sensed it. It's so beautiful. It's amazing. There is somebody that I actually do hold close to my heart that I learned a lot from, and that was Tom Lane. Mm. He was the winemaker for Bianchi. And I remember thanking him for making my job so easy because the wines were so good. He is an amazing winemaker.
Yeah, and he has like, what, two degrees, 3 degrees?
Something like that.
In like biochemistry, I want to say physics, and or some like a lot of science.
He's brilliant,
yeah.
And it showed up in his wines that he produced.
So he's now over at Bethel Road and Distillery yes. for Castoro, and he helps with some special wine projects, I think. But I think his main gig now is the Bethel Road Distillery.
They're fortunate to have him because mm-hmm. I remember saying thank you so much because you know you make my job so easy, and then he'd say no, thank you because if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't have a job. And I'd say, no, you don't understand. I mean, if it wasn't for you, my job wouldn't be this simple. And we just would go back and forth. And at the end of the day, I come back to teamwork again. Mm-hmm. That's what it's all about. And believing in your team and supporting your team. And it was a joy, pleasure, fun, funny. I remember doing a winemaker dinner at one time in Manhattan Beach, and I got a phone call after the dinner saying, can we have the name of that comedian? Because we'd like to hire him. And that was Tom, the winemaker.
He's got the driest but like most sarcastic sense of humor. I remember always wanting to sit next to him at whatever employee thing we were doing because he was just... You had to be paying attention.
Yes.
He would just throw out these zingers, and if you weren't listening, you'd miss it. He would just ride the pause.
Yes.
He was very good at that.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, he's a really funny guy.
Very, very funny. So, I mean, that's what it's all about, too. I mean, the winemaker dinners and our winemakers and the owners that are willing to, you know, show up for those, that's really important. That's what everybody wants mm-hmm. is either the owner or the winemaker, and... to have that support
and that connection. Mm-hmm. Well, another funny, weird connection with Tom, Lane, and I, he worked at Kincannon Winery as a winemaker before they were bought out by, I forget who they're bought out by, but he was the winemaker there for a long time. And then I ended up working there right after he left. And then he was at Bianchi for several years. And then I came to Bianchi and I like followed him. He's like, well, I'm going off to my next venture. Maybe I'll see you soon. And I mean, that didn't happen, but it's still kind of...
You never know these days.
It's such a small world. It's such a small world.
He's worth following, believe me.
I know, maybe distilleries are in my future. But
there you go.
But it's just so funny how some things... California is such a big place.
Mm-hmm.
But in Paso's so small, but to all like end up in the same place and all work together is just so unique. It makes everything seem a bit smaller and mm-hmm. closer, and everyone's more in touch with each other.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah.
6 degrees of separation, no doubt about it.
It's not just Kevin Bacon.
Exactly.
So this is a good one because I love talking about industry events because I think a lot of the viewers or listeners are industry people, or maybe they're just customers who like to be industry people. What's the most memorable industry event or experience you can think of? A dinner, a tasting, or meet and greet, anything?
So,
does have to be Paso.
So when I had come on board with Bianchi, I remember saying, you know, we needed to have events. We need to have industry parties. And actually, they came to fruition. And
that was right before I came on.
Well, you missed.
I heard.
Yeah.
I hear it all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. You missed out. But what I'm really excited about now is Dane Trope, who I was saying is now my boss. Mm-hmm. Who put J-Lore on the map, mm-hmm. his seminars and winemaker dinners are incredible. He remembers I was like this sponge, mm-hmm. and I was this little mouse, you know, just mm-hmm. following him to wherever, you know, I just wanted to listen and learn. And just his presentation is spectacular. He keeps your interest. He's not definitely too nerdy. Or technical. It's to the point that he has a way of just getting your undivided attention because it's in such a uplifting way that he presents himself.
So your favorite event is with your new boss and his seminars. I totally thought you were going to say the epic 4th of July or 3rd of July party.
Oh my God, that was epic.
Yeah, I know.
That's the best way I could put it. That was epic.
I thought you were going to say that. I was going to be all
well,
like...
Well, that's pretty...
Darn close, right?
No, that's like really close. Fits right in there.
Well, what was so special about the Bianchi industry party? Because I missed it, so I don't have anything to on it. Yeah. I heard there was acrobats. I heard they kind of went all out for it.
And somebody fell in the lake.
Of course, because it's not a party until someone falls in the fountain lake.
Right. you know, again, for me, I think what's missing in this world is fun and people having fun and laughter. And again, wine is a happy, good thing, healthy.
Yeah, if you're in a bad mood, wine tasting, there's something wrong.
Right, exactly. And
it's going to affect how you taste the wine, quite frankly.
It is. I used to say that at law. If you're here to have fun, you're in the right place. If not, and I used to show them where the door was. Actually, everybody laughed. I mean, they were just...
No one's going to walk out of the door.
A few of them kind of looked like, uh-oh, what are we in
for? Like, I'm a beer drinker. I don't really want to be here. Yeah. Then it's like, oh, wait, look at where I am.
It's just fun and laughter. And, you know, I just want to make people feel comfortable and...
Yeah, and I think industry events are a special thing that we do here in Paso. And I know those have been kind of on pause for the moment, but I can't wait till we get really creative with however those events are going to look in the future. I don't think they've gone away. We're going to continue to do them, maybe in smaller capacities or in different ways. But are so special to our community.
We're going to do a mini version of a Young's fall tasting, and which is usually huge.
Right.
All the buyers come to us at a specific location and get to taste through all the different brands. And
it's usually a couple days, right?
Yes. And it's at a wonderful place usually, but due to the situation with COVID, we can't do that. But I want to do a mini version.
Yeah.
Maybe like three different locations, three different times, and it'll be less amount of people. But
I mean, I know the new kind of what I've been hearing a lot of is that they're inviting like one, instead of having a huge industry party, like an east side and a west side night, they just are inviting like one or two wineries to come, or they're to come to their winery to taste, or they're sending a rep with their wine to them, to their tasting room, to take them through the wines and kind of get to meet them, or just bringing their team to do outings so that they can at least meet everybody, network in a little mini way, in a safe way, respectful way. But those big Tobin James blowouts, I mean, I miss those. I miss all of it.
Yeah, I know. It's been very challenging.
The day we have those again is going to be...
it's around the corner.
It will be. It's something that we crave here in Paso and makes us also connected and special.
I agree. Absolutely.
What is the experience you think you've learned the most from during your time on the Central Coast?
That's a good question.
It's more of a deep kind of thinker question.
I've learned how important relationships are.
Have you ever messed up with a relationship and had to make amends?
Yes.
It's a hard lesson to learn.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well,
we've all done that, but then being able to go back and fix it is a whole other thing.
I think forgiveness is really important, and forgiveness is for yourself, not for the other person necessarily. But it's all a learning experience. It's all an education. Yeah. You got to take the good with the not so good and the challenges, and that's life. It's part of the game here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've definitely been in those shoes before.
And then are there some relationships that you maybe weren't able to repair and you just had to kind of leave it as it was?
I basically say, God bless.
And I'm on my way.
And I just move on.
Yep. Yeah, that's a tough lesson to learn because everybody likes to be liked. No one likes to be thought of as not in a good light with anybody. And so in sales, it can very easily go south.
It can. Absolutely.
And maybe not ruined relationships, but like it can just take a turn that's not really the direction you wanted it to go and have to try and bring it back around or to fix it or have another visit. It's not an easy skill.
It's not. It's something that can't actually be taught to you.
And it's experience. I think if you have experience, you can do it very well.
Right, right. Well, again, I feel like I've been in school for the last... 10 years and except getting paid for it. And
there's still more to learn.
That's the beauty of wine.
I know. I always say that.
There is.
You're never done learning.
Oh, and plus I actually learn a lot from my buyers or my customers. I'm a sponge still, just like I was 15 years ago with Dane. Mm-hmm. I'm still that way. Yep. And if I don't know something, I have no problem saying I don't know. So there are varietals I've never heard of. I remember there was a time that I think it was called gosh, it, Royal, I think was the name of it. It was when I was with Bianchi. And it's just an extra added varietal for color. Mm. But nobody had heard of it before. Mm-hmm. It was, but that, it was so uplifting to learn that mm-hmm. and share that mm-hmm. knowledge. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, that's great. Let's revisit the wine.
Cheers.
Cheers. I think having it be open has definitely wow. made it a little more robust.
I agree.
It's given it more character because it was just such an easy drinker and the fruit was dominating before. Now I get more chocolate. I get more, maybe a little tobacco, maybe a little leather, but still the oak is still very subtle, but it definitely has gotten better.
Absolutely. I agree. Well, that's everything, you know?
Yeah.
When anything breathes, it's always better.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, we didn't decant it or use an aerator on this one.
Nope.
But for Cabernet Sauvignon, it's still pretty fruity, but it definitely took a while to kind of open up and be a little more, it's more complex.
And you get a little bit of jam on the nose.
Mm-hmm. More complex mm-hmm. now than it was when we first opened it, that's for sure. Yeah, that was good. Very good. Any final thoughts on this wine? Or any other final thoughts on weed cellars before we move on?
Keep an eye out because they're
coming in force.
They absolutely. What you posted something the other day. You named all the varietals yeah. and you said, what more can you need? And I said, no, what more can you weed? And it's so true. And again, I'm excited to share you know, the enthusiasm and such great quality wines that have value. And
so will they be in retailers or is it going to be all on premise?
It'll be both.
Both, okay.
Absolutely. Right. Our bourbon is, we have this gold leaf label.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's just
having that on the back bar anywhere is going to be intriguing.
Mm-hmm. No doubt about it. It, you know, it makes for a great conversation. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited, and you're supposed to share your blessing, so I can't wait to share.
Yay. Moving more to, like, this is kind of the second half. I like to be a little more personal and just, it's more about you and your story. And so I've known you for a long time now, mm-hmm. But you are particularly intuitive and sensitive to people and emotions. And I think that shows through, especially with how much you treasure your friends and family. Can you tell me some predictions that you've made that have actually come to fruition?
Well, let's see. I know that I have...
I know you have some out there that are waiting to be completed.
Well, Jaime, who is at the speakeasy,
yeah.
Recently I was just there and he pulled me aside and said, I just need you to know that everything that you shared with me, you were right. So the thing with my intuitiveness, my gift is if I'm supposed to let somebody know something, it'll come through. You can't just ask me a question.
Right.
It just does. We're all facilitators. We're all used. Mm-hmm. But my gift is that it's usually all, and I hate using the word positive now because it's too connected with COVID.
Oh.
So I like to use the word healthy now instead in place of it. So my gift is it's healthy, it's uplifting. Mm. That's what comes through for me. So he pulled me aside and I don't remember what I tell people.
He's going to love that you mentioned him regardless.
Oh, he's wonderful. And I know what I felt with him and his sister-in-law, actually. Same thing with Erica. Really, really strong feelings and emotions were coming through that I shared with her, and she knew there was no way I could know.
Erica is wife of
Edgar.
Edgar, mm-hmm. for Bodega de Edgar. Okay.
Yes, yes.
Cool.
And then here's another silly little example. One of my niece's girlfriends.
Well, we're not silly to those people where it comes true.
But anyway, keep going. So I've known Sarah since she was 5 years old. She's one of my niece's closest friends. And I got a FaceTime call from her, and she says, because everybody calls me Aunt Diane. I'm everybody's Aunt Diane. And she says, do you remember when we were 14 years old and we were in Jacqueline's room? We were all sitting on her bed. Do you remember what you told me? And I said, Sarah, I love you, but no, I don't remember. Sorry. She says, you told me something very amazing, huge, something big in my life is going to happen for me when I'm 28. And you were specific. I said, okay. And she holds up her hand and shows me her engagement ring. And she got engaged. Mm. So she goes, oh my God, you were right. You were right. And, you know, I love hearing things like that. But I am in tuned.
You typically guess when someone's pregnant.
Yes,
you
that's
do that
true.
A lot.
That's true.
And then you usually can guess the gender.
Correct. Well, here's a good one for you. This was pretty amazing, I have to say. So the Hatch restaurant here in Paso Robles, Maggie and Eric.
The owners.
Correct. So they already had their little girl. And one day I went into the restaurant and Eric said that they're pregnant again. And I said, oh, you're going to have a boy. And he kind of like taps me on my shoulder and says, well, we'll see, you know, eventually we'll find out, you know. And I said, no, you don't understand. You're going to have a boy. And he's patting me on my shoulder again, like, be on your merry way. So I come back in there, I think it was about a month later, and Eric says, oh, I'm sorry to tell you that you're wrong. We got the ultrasound, and it's a girl. And I looked at him, and I said, no, it's not.
And he looked, science or the ultrasound tech was wrong.
And I said, it is a boy. And he literally looked at me like I was this crazy lady. And I said, suit yourself. You're having a boy. A few months later, time goes by. I walk in again. And Maggie comes running towards me. And she says, we've been waiting for you to come in because you needed to know this first before we can share with our family, but you're going down in the history of our family because you were right. It's a boy. And I just can sense it. But, you know, it's...
You've called people out for being pregnant before they knew, too.
Yes. Oh, my God. That was... Thanks for reminding me of that one. That was a wonderful story, too. That was with... Oh my God!
I don't remember who it was, but I've heard the story before.
No, it's her one of the event places. It's
Taramia?
No. She does the music and
Emily Smith.
She does. They do everything. They.
Oh, the event, an event coordinating.
Yes, a big one here in Paso.
Oh my gosh,
it's huge. I'm so sorry.
I can't remember.
It's huge.
Okay.
But anyways, this goes back to the days when Adriana was at Bianchi, and her girlfriend was there. And she introduced me, and, hi, how are you, blah, blah, blah. And at the time, it was my son's birthday, and we were going to go out on the patio there and have some sparkling and celebrate my son's birthday. And I went into the Vineyard House, and as I'm getting everything that we need, it came to me that this woman is pregnant.
So don't get her wine. Bring her something else.
Right. So basically, she better enjoy it now because she's pregnant. Uh-huh. And so when I went out there and I said with her, take a sip and that's it. And she goes, excuse me? Why? And I said, because you're pregnant. And she looked again. There's like, that crazy lady
like
again.
You're crazy.
And it turns out that I guess that she had difficulties getting pregnant. I don't know her at all. Mm-hmm. And I mean, she had even started crying. She looks at Adriana and said, did you say anything to her? And Adriana's, no, nothing. You guys just met. And lo and behold, after her having major
difficulty.
Yes. Mm. And the rest is history.
That's awesome. Very cool. Well, we won't share what you've predicted about me. I'm still waiting for those to happen, but I'll give everybody an update when and if they do.
Oh, no, I have my predictions on you. I know. You know that.
I know. We'll see. Well, I do. You kind of alluded to your son and his birthday, and I like to think of you as my second mother, very close confidant. You're also one of the strongest people I know, largely in part to your optimism and your loving spirit, despite the hardships you've experienced with your own family. And so hopefully it's okay for me to bring this up and you mention it, because I think it's something that isn't taboo and should be shared. And it's something we should all kind of be aware of and support each other with. But tell me a little bit about your personal struggle with parental alienation with your children, and then any advice that you would give to anybody who might be going through something like that.
Well, I appreciate you bringing that up, because it's part of the tapestry that's led me to who I am today, which I like who I've become and continue to grow to become. It's a huge part. Parental alienation happens on a daily basis. It's when one parent alienates the other parent and badmouths the other parent against the other parent.
It's to the children.
Correct. It's using them as pawns and weapons, which to me is abuse. And I had that happen to my children and myself 20 years ago. And, you know, I just have always seen the world differently with the challenges. We all have a story. We all have challenges. But at the end of the day, it's what are you going to do with that? It's made me stronger. It's forced me to be independent. I'm an identical twin, so I didn't know from that. I've always had somebody since conception. So I had to teach myself how to be an individual and be independent. And it's been a long journey, a sad journey, a tragic journey that I don't want anybody to have to experience at all. You know, a lot of people would say, I can't imagine, and nobody should have to imagine. We grow up, you know, wanting to have families, whether it's through adoption, whether it's through a marriage and somebody else has children, however it is that presents a family. I had lost my mom when I was 8 years old to cancer and saw the world differently. I learned death before I knew life. But my foundation's pretty darn strong, thanks to my mother and father, and primarily my mother. Strength, courage, wisdom, laughter, fun, loving, the most angelic woman God could have put on this planet. And I hope to believe that her spirit lives on through me, because that's what life's all about. I do have three children. My sister willed it on me that I was going to have twins, and I did.
She didn't have twins.
Nope.
You did.
It was all on me.
But you had one son first.
Yes.
And then a boy-girl twin set.
Correct. Yes. And like me, how my foundation was laid, and yes, it was only 8 years, but quality years, it's the same thing with my children. I laid that foundation, and it's strong and it's solid. We don't own our children. You want them to spread their wings and fly. You hope for that. But I missed out on all the important years of their lives.
So you haven't spoken or seen them, spoken for the most part, or seen them for 20 years.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's a big number. I thought that was important.
Yes. Well, this year was 20 years. Yes.
Yeah. So like you said, you missed certain years. You've missed marriages. You've missed birthdays. You've missed
bar mitzvahs. Yeah. I missed many things. And you know, actually, what I've learned is you have to focus on what you have, not what you don't have. I have you, Kelsey. I've got my nieces, nephews, great nieces, great nephews. I've got so many people that, I mean, and I'm grateful and I'm blessed. If I was to focus on what I don't have, I wouldn't even be here talking to you right now, because it's just too painful.
Right.
But we all have choices. on those challenges that are presented to us, which we all have. And my choice is, out of respect to my parents, especially my mother, who lost hers at a very young age, I'm going to live my life and in her memory and honor it in her memory, the best to my ability, what's in my control. And again, that's what I love about this industry is it's happy, it's fun, it's laughter.
It's, and relationships.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, so important. And I still, you know, am optimistic that one day they will find their way back and they'll know the truth. I am going to be writing a book. And the only reason why is if I can help one person, it'll make it worth everything that I've endured. I've had people ask me on a daily basis, how do you smile? Mm-hmm. How do you do it? Mm-hmm. And it is a choice.
Right. Going back to choices, I mean, you made the choice to leave an abusive situation, whatever. I'm not going to go into too much detail there, but you had to get out and leave that situation. And unfortunately, due to your circumstances and money and power, you had to essentially leave your children behind.
Well,
and leave them in his essential control.
Yes, yes. Okay. At the time, you think the right thing to do is to stay, but when you're in an abusive situation, it's called self-love, self-care, yeah, which I didn't know about at all. Mm-hmm. But it's tug of war, mm-hmm, and the children are in the middle.
Yep.
And it's like the story of King Solomon, where the king says, where both mothers say they're both the mother, and the king says, well, then I'm just going to go ahead and cut the child in half, and that'll take care of that. And the real mother steps up and says, no, she can have
because
the children.
I won't do that to the child.
Correct. Yeah. And that's basically what I did, is I loved them enough to let them go, meaning if I let go of my end of the rope, there's no more tug of war. They're not in the middle anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a tough decision to make.
One of the hardest decisions of my life.
For anyone to have to make that decision, it's not fair and it's not right. So I look forward to reading that book.
Aw, thanks.
And your constant inspiration, the way that you do things, the way that you are so positive. So your children know they're loved, whether you get to tell them in person or not. And I'm sure the best will happen for all of you eventually.
Oh, thanks, Kelsey. Well, you've made an impact. You have not missed a Mother's Day for me. Whether it's a card or just acknowledgement, and that's what it's all about, is love doesn't have to be genetic.
Right. That's true. Yeah. That's how I feel in Paso. Like, you have your family by blood, but then you get to your friends or the family you choose.
Exact. God, very well said, Kelsey.
I don't think I'm the one that came up with that. I'm sure I heard that somewhere. And I don't know who I need to give credit to, but I truly think that. And so you get to choose your family every single day, essentially, who you surround yourself with. And you can be judged by who you spend your time with. And I think you should be, because that speaks a lot about who you are as a person.
We're a strong community here in Paso Robles.
Mm-hmm. Paso strong.
Yes, we are. Absolutely.
Okay. I don't really have any other questions for you because we've hit our time. But if there's any other Paso businesses or special causes you want to shout out to before we sign off, now is the time.
Well, just again,
I know Rise is a big thing you love, but then also Weed Sellers is great.
Absolutely. Rise has been amazing for me as far as domestic violence goes. I will never be a victim. I don't like that word whatsoever. But they were there when I needed them, and knowing that they're there if I ever do need them, mm-hmm, phenomenal. I will always support their cause.
They have a pretty big presence on the Central Coast.
They do.
It's awesome.
No, it's they've been an essential part of my life, mm-hmm, here on the pass on the Central Coast. But at the end of the day, it's the script continues to write itself.
That's true.
And I couldn't think of a better place to be for it to be written.
That's great. Thank you so much, Diane. Again, you can find all episodes past and present wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts, or visit my website at www.purplepasopeople.com. where you can find links to my episodes as well as a list of every wine I've tasted on the show. And I'll provide links to my guest website or social media page so you can follow and support people like Diane on her various ventures as well as weed sellers. So don't forget to follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Purple Paso People. Check back in about a week or so for my next episode. As always, stay safe out there, support your local Paso people, and keep those teeth purple. I did want to make one small correction on Diane's interview. She meant to say Sabe's Wings is the foundation run by Brett and Candace Saberhagen. Sabe's Wings. I'll have the link on my website if you're interested in learning more about it. Otherwise, I hope you enjoyed the episode. Thanks. Bye.